Welcome to WILL's Community Cinema Screening and... Welcome to WILL's Community Cinema Screening and Discussion. I'm Henry Radcliffe, Community Engagement Producer and Community Cinema Series Manager at Illinois Public Media, WILL Radio, TV, and online. We are joining people in over 100 communities across the nation as we come together to watch and discuss tonight's film, The Graduates, Los Graduados. Public television is known for our high-quality independent documentaries, and tonight we hope we'll maintain our reputation for bringing cinema out into the community to watch and enjoy, but also engage in meaningful discussion about local connections to the issues in the film. In order to do that, we have assembled a panel for tonight's discussion. We have Jorge Chapa, University of Illinois Professor of Sociology and Latino Studies, Alejandra Cornell, President and CEO of Cornell Bilingual Services and Language Services Supervisor at Presence Covenant Medical Center, Urbana, Sue Gray, President and CEO of the United Way of Champaign County, and Samuel Banks, CEO of the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club in Champaign. And of course, we're grateful for our partners, the Spurlock Museum, who provides us with the Knight Auditorium for our screening, our national partner, the Independent Television Service, who brings the Community Cinema Series to all of us public television stations, and provides us with quality independent documentaries to air every week on WILL-TV. Our partners for this screening are the Don Moyers Boys and Girls Club, Cornell Bilingual Services, CU Immigration Forum, the United Way of Champaign County, and La Colectiva. We will show tonight's film with closed captioning, and our discussion will be signed for deaf audience members by Bunny Berg. I would like to thank DRES, the Office of Disabilities, Resources, and Educational Services, for making Bunny Berg available for us tonight. Tonight's discussion will be recorded by Mike Pritchard. The Graduate, Los Graduados, will air on WILL Television Monday, October 28th at 9 p.m. Please check our schedule for additional screening dates and times. And now we'll start the film. What did you think of the film? Hello? Okay. Thank you. I would like for my panel to start introducing themselves, and if they would start off with Ms. Cornell at the end.
My name is Alejandra Cornell. I am the CEO of the Cornell Bilingual Consultant Services. I came into this country 15 years ago with no English, and I immigrated with my mom. She is actually my rock, and she's been my inspiration to be what I am right now. And it's a pleasure to be here today and be able to pass to you and everyone who's here the things and experience that I have done in this country. I'm very blessed to be here. I became a USA citizen 2 years ago, and it's been one of the biggest decisions that I have made, because becoming another citizen from a different nation, it's a big decision, but I'm proud to say that I can share two nationalities, and I'm very proud to be here today with all of you.
I'm Jorge Chapa. I'm a professor here at the university. I immigrated to the U.S. with my mom when I was a month old. I grew up in the Chicago area. I'm basically here, and I got my heart just by sheer dumb luck, and I think you see here in this movie that... I won a scholarship when I was in high school. I went to Proviso West, and actually, it's a big high school. There's 4,000 students. I was there. I'll tell you the story later. But there's a poster. I went to see my counselor to figure out my spring schedule, my senior year, They had a big poster for scholarships. I took out the postcard off the poster for the scholarships, and I sent it out. And the next day, actually, what happened was leaving my counselor's office in the fall. It was the first lunch period. They had six lunch periods, I think, at Proviso West, because so many students, like, I thought a cattle stampede. I was pressed. I was meeting the students in the lunchroom, so I was pressed against the wall by all the students going to the lunch period. And just because of that, I pulled the card off the poster, filled out, basically won a scholarship that paid for my higher education. And I think the story, and you see that in this movie, there's a lot more people, Latinos, the people of all races and backgrounds, who can do well in college, but usually don't. We say it's a great movie, and you see people who basically made it through the system one way or the other, but there are, unfortunately, exceptions, and most of the people with the same backgrounds I have, basically don't finish college. And I think this movie shows it's possible, and a lot of my work as a professor has been helping make it possible for students, well, low income, low educational, low backgrounds to get through college.
I'm Sue Gray. I'm the president and CEO of the United Way of Champaign County. I'm one of those rare individuals that are referred to as a townie. I was born and raised here, and still have lots of family and friends and people that I've grown up with. I wanted to go away to college, but my mom said to me, "But honey, you have a Big Ten university in your backyard. Why would you want to go anywhere else?" And of course, I had a million reasons why I wanted to go somewhere else other than here. But I'm very happy that I followed my parents' advice and stayed here at the University of Illinois. And I'm very proud to lead an organization that, our mission and purpose is to bring people and resources together to address critical needs here in Champaign County and part of a worldwide network that wants to, focus on education, health and well-being, and financial stability so that all people have a better quality of life. And I'm very honored to be a part of this panel and part of this this evening. So thank you.
I'm Sam Banks. I'm the executive director of the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club here in Champaign. I grew up on the west side of Chicago, a little bit of ways from Proviso West, in the Austin area, West Garfield area, so a few miles east of where the professor grew up. And I guess one of the ways that I identify with the young ladies in the film is I was the first in my family to actually go to college and graduate. So, developing that motivation, having that motivation to fight through difficulties growing up on the west side. If you're familiar with the west side of Chicago, my father died when I was 13. And so I was the oldest of five kids at the time. So, having some similar struggles and growing up in a, pretty difficult neighborhood, dealing with although the gang issues at that time, I'm an old guy. I'm almost 60 years old now, it's been a while, but still, some of the similar issues on the west side of Chicago today were there when I was there. So I can identify with that. The thing that struck me throughout the film, and I think it was a great testimony of finding hope. Because each one of the young people in the film found something that got them through. They latched on to something that motivated them and gave them the what it took to get them through to their goal. And I think one of the things that came through was through the film was that for young people in the Boys and Girls Club. Just sharing a part of our mission. Our mission is to help kids in some kind of way find that hope, to be there for them in the ways that we work through the Boys and Girls Club. So it's like Sue, it's an honor to be on the panel just to represent that.
And I'm Henry Radcliffe, the manager of this. I'm also from the Chicago area, so I can sort of relate to some of the issues that were in the film, but This is one of the times in our audience we have quite a few youth, and I don't mean to put you all on the spot, but I would like to, first of all, this is an open discussion. There is a microphone that will be passed around for people in the audience to take part of this. But I'd like to hear what some of the youth might have thought about that film. It raises problems that some of us old folks might not necessarily be able to appreciate. I've been to Chicago. I've been going back and forth quite a bit, and I've lately been sort of terrified to go to the city. I mean, every time I go there and I watch the news, there's more than a handful of people that have been shot, injured, done something on the weekend. And when I saw that shot going over Navy Pier, the first thing, I've been on a plane and seen that shot before, and I got that feeling about Chicago. But then, as I said, there are these other issues. It's turned into the Wild West. And I know I hear about students in school having problems, so could some of the youth in the audience?
Hi, my name's Shikari. First, I thought the movie was really good, and that it was really also nice to hear, like he mentioned, that they found some type of hope to keep them going, and that I was born and raised on the west side of Chicago, and seeing other, like, teenagers myself drop out of school and struggle and potentially and can't find any hope or motivation to keep them inside, like keep them going forward. They just completely let go. And so then that's where they don't have anyone to motivate them because their parents don't have, I guess, the hope for their children to be successful, especially already having the downfall of being in a bad neighborhood where there's, like, low income, so.
On the other side. Hold on, she'll get over there because we're recording it.
Hi, my name is Laura. I'm a student here at the U of I. I really enjoyed the video and the movie in general, and a couple things I wrote down. I think they talked about society and Latinos in school, and of course the role of parents, and then the actual attitude of the Latino student themselves, you know? So one of the things I realized, I think those three create this dynamic that really influence Latinos going to school. So I think the foundation really relies on the parents, you know? Like she said, are they supportive? Do they give you the resources, not necessarily resources and money, but even just in support and love? Do they encourage you to go to school? You know, that foundation that you need as a student to really continue on, like, as a motivation also. And then another part I was looking at something called the self-fulfilling prophecy. So if this is, you know, if people think of you as not worth it, as not being able to do something, as you're not good, you're not going to make it, you start believing it, you know, and then you continue that, I'm not good enough, so why should I go to school? So I think society itself also makes it, harder for Latino students to, you know, go to school and stay in school and finish because we're not expected to do such things. It shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't be in school. Or what are you doing here? You got it in, but the chances of you staying are small. Which, I mean, I see in college as a senior myself, the population of Latinos that I started off with my freshman year has decreased by a lot. And so that's another huge thing I looked at. So I think those big three things that I really realized are, you know, the parents, you know, they put a huge factor. The student themselves, the attitude, how they view, are they motivated? And then, of course, society and how that affects. Those three things I think are really important. And then another thing that I realized was, I wrote a couple of things down. I think that a supporting network in the school also, is also very important and crucial for a Latino student. If you don't feel supported in the school, or you feel like the teachers don't care about you or don't offer you that kind of help, like she says, she feels like she's in a prison. Like, if you feel like you're in your prison, how are you going to want to succeed? You feel like you're already in these bars. They treat you like you're a prisoner. So, you know, clearly they don't believe in you. And that, again, continues fulfilling that I'm not good enough, so why should I continue? So those are a couple of things that I've kind of realized. I actually didn't go to a Chicago school. I'm actually from a northwest suburb, so my community was extremely different. I grew up it very differently, but I've been exposed to a lot, so I think this movie was wonderful. So.
Thank you.
I'd like to say something about the first point, about certainly parental influence, parental encouragement for education is really important. But I think you can see in my life and my research and in this movie, you can see a lot of Latino parents. First of all, my parents are immigrants. They had an eighth grade education, and they really wanted me to go to college, but basically had no idea on how to do that. Certainly, I was the first person in my family to go to college. I think the only person I grew up with in my neighborhood, Stone Park, to go to college for my year. So they just had no practical knowledge. And you can see in this movie, too, the educational counselor. I mean, you really need somebody. Going to college is complicated. Applying. I was lucky the scholarship, the card I mailed in, put me in touch with this person, a social worker who ran the scholarship agency, who basically did for me what the counselor did for Chastity in this movie, the young woman with the red hair in the white walls. You really need, it's complicated, you need to know what you're doing when you're going to apply to college. So, and that, you know, a lot of Latino parents just don't have the specific knowledge. Even though they really want their kids to get educated, they don't know how.
Go ahead.
To that point as well, you know, as a community deal with some of the issues that we saw in the film, from an education standpoint, it's not just a matter of addressing the needs, what I think Professor is saying, addressing the needs of the student, but addressing the needs of the families as well. That it's not just a student issue when we talk about the Latino community, the poor community, be it African American, and otherwise, that it's not just a student thing, but a family thing that we need to be supportive of and help to understand what the issues are and how we can come together to address them.
We have a comment in the audience.
Hello, everybody. My name is Cadet Rocha, and I currently attend Lincoln's Challenge Academy. And I have to say that it's an honor to be able to speak to everybody here today. For me, this film actually hit so many key factors in the fact that Latinos and also people from Native countries, how they go through life, how it has complicated surfaces, how to say, like, our families, like, we have to go through many problems, many obstacles in order to get to where we are. Being in Lincoln's Challenge Academy, I came here because I came from a struggling life. I didn't have that background like some other people had. People had it worse, but I made bad decisions. And and there was always those programs that I went to school. I just wasn't into it. So I decided to stop going, stop paying attention. I was an intelligent kid, and I just stopped caring. But after reviewing my options and seeing how much of an education I really needed in order to get somewhere, I chose to come here, get my GED, move forward in life, go to college, and then look for a military branch to go forward. Because I ended up finding out, without an education, you're practically nothing. Because before I came here, I worked at a McDonald's making minimum wage. I paid bills at home. I was the one responsible for certain bills. My family couldn't do it by themselves. And now that I'm here, they're by themselves. So with me completing this task and completing my goals, I want to set forth options for my family to move forward, for us to become united again.
And I want to say something to you, because you make an excellent point. You make your decision. And this is how you stand up for yourself and your family. Sometimes it is very important to have a family support, but if the destiny is that you don't have that support at home, sometimes we always found somebody good, and we know that. We know what is the good and what is the bad. And we have to stand ourselves and say, hey, I need to make a decision. And I don't know how many of you who are right now in Lincoln Challenge have made that decision. But by now that you are already enrolled, not only the support that you're getting from the military standpoint, that, you know, because you're getting this discipline, sometimes this is what we need. We need some discipline. And sometimes we cannot complete tasks and we cannot complete our goal because we're not disciplined in our decisions. So it is. I feel proud that you're saying this and that you are actually encouraged to tell us, all of us, that there is a chance. And this is the hope that Mr. Chapas was actually talking about it. Sometimes if we don't have our mom and dad, and I actually have to say my mom raised me by herself because my dad passed away when I was only 15 days old. And it's really hard to raise a child. Right now, I'm almost 40 years old. And to make a decision to have a child by myself, I don't know if I'm so encouraged like my mom. And I actually saw her raising myself. But you have to be very brave to make that decision. And so I'm very grateful that you guys are here today, because this film can tell you that you can actually move forward and that there is a hope, but it's, you are in charge of your life. And if we don't make that decision, we cannot move forward. So thank you so much for saying this today.
Hi, my name is Cadet Guillen. My first name is Emmanuel. My real name is not Cadet. I'm here at Lincoln's Challenge. I really enjoyed the video because it reminded me so much of what, like, Gage High School. As Mr. Chapa said, he's from Proviso West, am I right? I briefly attended Proviso East, and it's really, really bad school, you know. All the violence and, you know, the barbed wire fences, security and everything. It looks like prison from the outside. And I wasn't going to last very long at that school. My friend, he went there, and he was a good kid, and he got mixed up with the wrong people, and now he dropped out. He's not working. He's just at home doing nothing. And this video really, documentary really, I really enjoyed it because it shows the effects of what happens when people don't get their education and they decide to work for, you know, minimum wage, or they decide to have children without education, how hard it is to be someone in life, to go somewhere, to have something to show to your kids of where you've been and where you've come from. And another thing was that I really liked is how they really focused on Latinos, because like how they were talking about in the videos, a lot of times we don't really, it's not easy, it's not as easy for us. Some of us here, you know, some of us aren't born from this country, so it's a lot harder for some of us Latinos. And this documentary, if shown to others, can really help make a change for all of us here. And I really appreciate, that's one of the things that really stood out to me from this documentary.
Just in case there are any other educators here in the audience, I have materials in case you would like to show this to classes. There are associate materials that go with it in case anyone would like to do that. Please contact me while we're here. And we have another comment from the audience.
Hi, my name is Samantha Busso. I am a junior here at the university, and I'm also the president of La Colectiva. What I thought was interesting about this video is that I identified with it on several different levels. I identified it because not only did I see myself, but I saw my friends in those videos. I saw a little bit of my friends and myself in each one of those girls. I went to Jones College Prep in Chicago, Illinois, so I was privileged enough to go to that. But a lot of my friends didn't get a chance to go. I actually did not grow up too far from Gage Park High School. However, my neighborhood high school was Kelly High School or Richards Academy. And the way I saw my friends was that they went to CPS schools. They weren't as privileged as I was. They lived in a low-income neighborhood. They weren't as privileged. They didn't have the same resources. No one ever really told them that they could go on to college. And then another thing was that even if they were expected, they weren't given the resources. They weren't told how this could happen. And then the way I saw myself was that I was expected to go to college. I have two older brothers. They both went on to college. However, neither of them graduated on time. One of them is still working on it, and the other one was in a six-year plan. My parents were a little skeptical of having me go away to college because they thought, oh, you're only going to go away. You don't really want to pursue your education. But they knew I couldn't do it, so they trusted me and they let me go. However, through the application process, I wasn't really sure what to do. My brothers, they were busy. They were doing their own thing. They tried to help me as much as they could. My parents, they didn't grow up in Chicago. They didn't grow up in the United States. They grew up in Mexico. They didn't know any of the process. Luckily, like I said, I went to Jones College Prep. I had counselors there who gave me the resources, who gave me access, who helped me along the way and told me what to do. And luckily, I got a chance to go here. However, like I said, I'm president of La Colectiva, and what we do, we actually have a mentorship program with Urbana High School. We launched it last year, and we're continuing it this year. And pretty much the mentoring program consists of three things. We have a one-on-one mentorship. So we had about 10 mentors and 10 mentees, and we partnered up with them. We would have weekly meetings with them and just get them on the path to pursue higher education. Let them know that they can do it. A lot of them have never left Champaign or Urbana. And then one of the things we organize the mentorship program around cultural events as well as educational events. And our bigger trip was that we went to Chicago at the end of the year, and they got a chance to see UIC campus as well as Pilsen neighborhood around there. We went to the Mexican Museum of Fine Arts, and then from there it was not only a bonding experience with their mentor and mentee, but it was also a way for them to see the other possibilities that are outside of what they're familiar with. And then another thing is that we have a scholarship that we're launching this year that it's for underrepresented students, because that also becomes a big problem of why students don't feel they can go on to college because their families can't afford it, or they don't even know how to access financial aid, or sometimes they can't even apply for financial aid. So basically, I just thought that this video did a good job of highlighting all the different aspects that go into the difficulties of Latinos pursuing higher education.
Gentleman back there, you had a hand up.
My name is Sandhu. I used to run a high-tech company in town here, and I'd like to say something about the employer. As an employer, what was I looking for? Now, I had two types of employees that I found interesting. One were college students that weren't very smart. The other were the people who worked in our shop and ran our computer-controlled machines who were very, very smart. So I asked those kids, why didn't you go to college? Because certainly you had everything that you needed so that you could go to college. And invariably the answer was, nobody told me what to do. Now, I had one very smart guy. He's dead now, so I'll talk about him. Andy Cooper was extremely smart. And I asked him, what kind of guidance did you get? And he said, my guidance counselor told me to join the Army. So he joined the Marines and became an electrician, where he could easily have been a top-notch computer engineer. Without effort, he could have done that. So a lot of it is getting exquisite counseling. You really need to be guided, whether it's your mother or your father or your counselor or maybe even yourself. But in a highly technical society like we have now, if you don't have an education, you might as well be dead. It's really, really hard. My nephew, who works in California, said, they won't even talk to you if you don't have a master's. It's getting that competitive now that it's really, really hard. And then you've got to be good. You can't just have a master's and you're in. You've got to know what you're doing. You can't drop the ball anywhere along the way. I know a young man who I've known since he was really a baby, who decided he enjoyed waiting tables. Smart kid. Now he wants to go to college. But what's going to happen is when he goes to look for a job, they're going to say, you're 28 years old. You just graduated from college. What have you been doing? He's going to say, I waited tables for 6 years. They're going to say, no, we need somebody else. It's very, very unbelievably competitive at the cutting edge. Besides, this is the information age. The richest man in the world does not sell nuts, bolts, cars, ships, airplanes. He sells information managing tools. His name is Bill Gates. That's what you're up against.
I was wondering if you have any recommendations about what we can do here locally to change the future of the Latino students that we have here locally. The film did a great job showing us how it's done in cities, in big cities, but we here is a little different. We have students, many of the students are first-generation students who have many other difficulties. They didn't specify in the film if any of the girls were undocumented, but that's a big issue for many of us here. And we do have a lot of programs, a lot of support at the school system. I work for Urbana School District. I'm the Latino Family Liaison for the district. We have the mentoring program. We have any other services that are offered through the guidance department. Any information that you can think of, the students receive. In addition to that, we also have a Latino club. We also do parent meetings. We also do work with the students since they are in middle school, starting to talk to them about college and higher education. I take students, high school students, to Parkland every year. We get an inside tour. Many students don't want to go because by high school level, many of them already decided that they're not, college is not going to be for them, and I made them go. I go to their home, I pick them up, I buy them pizza, whatever it takes for them to go. And I have seen students after that field trip changing their mind. It's just a matter of finding a way, finding something, or finding somebody that believes in them, or finding the right information, and finding somebody to take them by the hand sometimes. But it still is not enough. The community is not really providing assistance for many of the students who are now documented under the deferred action, but still are not eligible for grants or for federal funding for their school. And Parkland is doing a great job offering scholarships and different opportunities for them to pay for their education. But after their 2 years in Parkland, that's it, and they can continue. And we have so many students who are really, really gifted, and they want to continue, and they want to go to the university, and they're just not finding a way to do so because usually it's just funding. Is there? And I really feel like after these many years, this community should be better prepared to provide assistance. Is there any... Do you have any suggestions, anything? Because it gets isolated after a while, working with the students so hard, and after 2 years, they have to just leave it like that.
Well, actually, it sounds like, first of all, La Colectiva is doing great work, and maybe connect with them, the student body. But I feel it is the responsibility of the university and the staff to go to your school, and I think this struck me. It's crazy that we live in this community with... It's great, a big, great university in many ways, especially size, but the people who go to high school here have so little contact with it. Dr. Michelle Cruz Santiago, and you are the student, works in the Office of Minority Student Affairs. She did her dissertation on outreach programs for Latinos in the Champaign-Urbana neighborhood. I think the Office of Admissions could... you could contact them and ask them to work with you. I'd be happy to give you my contact information afterwards. At least I can help you make contact with people whose job it is to do that, and be happy to do what I can too to work with you and your students. Making sure your students watch this video. Certainly we could do a better job. The university could do a better job with reaching out to the people in the local area. Now, the basic issue of money, that's a hard one. I mean, there are scholarship financial aid programs, but this is the most expensive public university in the country. So But still, whatever programs there are, your students should be able to take full advantage of it.
You know, I want to say something about, sorry, Sue, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, in my spare time, I spent about 5.5 years on the Champaign School Board. And as a member of the board, you know, and also a parent of two high schoolers, so 8 years in a row at Central, walking through the halls and seeing the children there, it was discouraging at times for me as a community member. You know, I love this town. I love everything about it. I wouldn't be here my whole life if I didn't. But it was discouraging to see so many children without hope, all kinds of kids. And it didn't matter where you lived in town or where you came from. But the kids that seemed to find that one person, whoever it was, if it was the custodian or if it was a teacher or an administrator or a mentor, that when they found that person, it was like a light came on, and you could see just a different energy about them. About a year and a half ago, United Way sponsored Wes Moore to come and speak to children. He wrote a book about the other Wes Moore, and they were two kids that lived two blocks away from each other. One accelerated and, you know, had a military career and served with presidents and Condoleezza Rice and did all this other stuff. And the other one killed a police officer and is spending the rest of his life in jail. But one of the things we asked the high schoolers there was, if you had an opportunity to have a mentor, would you take one? Would you have a mentor? 98% of the students said yes. So one of the things that we've been looking at as sort of a best practice or something that we could do in our community is to get more adults in the school buildings from the time they're in kindergarten, and not assuming that when they reach high school they're okay and that they don't need us anymore because they think they're all grown up, but you're not. Mm-hmm. That they still need you, even when they're 16, 17, and 18, to be there for them. And no, you might not be their parent, but you could be a constant for them. And I think there was a Dane County, Wisconsin, where the University of Wisconsin is, worked with their local United Way, and they infused their school districts with 750 adults every day going into these buildings and working with children to work on closing the achievement gap between minority students and white students. And it was pretty amazing, but it took time. It was about a 9-year process. And that's just something that I'm pretty big on, is that as an adult, I'm not perfect, you know, but I have an hour a week that I could share with somebody, and that I need to take the time to do that. And that's a message that I'd really like to send to people. I'm also really happy to say that United Way does fund that Latino mentoring program through the University Y, so yay. But that was something that we really saw of great value to the students. And, we'll continue to do that because it's incredibly important that kids have this positive role model. And if you looked at all three of those girls, there was a person or someone that they connected with that helped just that little extra nudge to help them continue to be successful. But I also think that their inner motivation was inspirational, that none of them wanted to quit, that they knew there was more for them than what society or what others thought was going to be their course in life. And that was really great to watch that, to see that. Yes.
I think one area, and I'm not sure how to solve it, but one area to connect with the issues that you're bringing up as far as solving the problem is the business community. Yes. Here in Champaign-Urbana. Somehow, I think we need to connect the chambers of commerce, the economic development efforts, and somehow bring them to the table so that they can be a part of the solution, offering apprenticeships, giving kids an opportunity to see what they can, you know, what finishing that education can mean to them from a work perspective, job perspective, career perspective, and, you know, finding a way to link that business community with kids and the education efforts, the United Way efforts, and all those, the mentoring efforts, bringing them to the table so that we can, so that they maybe can bring some of that element of reality that kids can touch and feel and be a part of as well. I think that, again, I don't have the answer of how to do that, but I think that would, that's an element that's missing in our community that speaks to what you brought up.
One thing that I want to mention is when I moved here, I was 24 years old, and I moved with my mom, as I say. She had a job opportunity, and everything turned out in a different way than we were expecting. So I have to work. And I have to work in a factory that I don't used to work in a factory because I was a medical student in Venezuela and I was an X-ray technician. So I never knew what it was to be in a factory, carrying boxes or, you know, or sewing or anything like that. But I have to do what I have to do in order to pursue for education. So I remember early that I have to work, I mean, in two places. And it was really hard to go to school. And it was really hard not knowing the language. At least now, if you have the language, if you have a second language, I will encourage you not to go to McDonald's. I mean, it's nothing wrong to go to McDonald's and work in a restaurant. But you have a skill, and you have actually a profession that I'm using right now. And, I mean, I'm actually helping many organizations. And the reason that I'm doing that, it was not because I just thought about making the money. I get involved with organizations here just on a volunteer basis before I start my business. And then I start talking to people, and I say, this is a job. If I go to United Way and I offer to, hey, this is an opportunity. You're going to have an employee here. I'm a student, and I want to reach out this community that you probably are looking for. They might be able to find you a job. And then going to school, I went to school, and it was really hard going to school when you are 24, and then you don't know the language, and you have to actually engage in learning the system and go to work. But it's possible. And I started with Parkland, and then I moved to U of I, and I'm going back to school right now, and it's horrible because I haven't been in school for a long time. And I'm telling you, it's just, you will challenge people who are very selfish because we're living in a society that is really selfish. But we have to overcome all this obstacles that we find in our society because, yeah, it would be nice to have program and have so many things, but sometimes you have to work hard to get into that, and it's possible. And as you think that the language is nothing, or sometimes you don't want to speak the language because you feel ashamed, well, don't feel ashamed. When I go to the school and I go to, now that I work for Presence Covenant Medical Center, and I ask the students that I come and volunteer, and I say, do you speak a second language? And they're like this. And I say, well, I'm not telling you if you are consuming drugs, so extend your hand and say, okay, come on, do you speak a second language? Because it is important. And this is something that we don't want people to go to school and also work. But there's nothing wrong with that. And just remember that you have a skill that you can bring to the table. And so many law enforcement, firefighters, the hospital, they need, because they're in the service line. And you have a skill that it can help people to communicate in a better way. So just think about that. Plus, enrolling into a mentor, you can be a mentor. Anybody in this room can be a mentor. And it's, as Sue's saying, it's the more important thing that we can do in our society and get back to our society and say thank you. Because we're not saying that we're perfect, but just the time and dedication, we can be encourage others to move forward and actually to think in better opportunities, because everybody have a good opportunity to be in better than self.
Go ahead. We have a comment from the audience.
I'm Cadet Ramirez. I believe it's true about the counseling and having a mentor, because many like teens that go to high school, like, they go through struggles where like kids like tell them, oh, you're not gonna go far in the future, so they doubt themselves and everything, and then with their financial and their family problems with the money, they're like, it's true, I can't really go to college because it's too much for my mom to pay, or I just don't have hope in me. Like, and having that one person tell you, yeah, you could do it, there's scholarships there, and like many people don't even know about like scholarships out there. Like, I didn't know about the National Guard scholarship that I'm applying for, and like now I know about it, and I'm like, I'm trying my best to earn it and everything. So like many people need that resource to help them move into their future, help them apply to college, like an easier way, FAFSA. And like there's many opportunities for teens out there that they don't even know about. And like having that one person to guide you through it, it's like 10 times better when you have somebody, when you're just alone thinking you have nobody in your side to help you, thinking you're not, you're like probably worthless to other people. Like, what's the point of going to college for? I'm just gonna like learn and not even get an education or a career after that. So like having that one person to guide you is like probably the best solution for us teens that are dropping out or planning to drop out. So like the mentor, like the, I forgot the activity she brought up, but like that's good, like having like helping and resources and everything. Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, can I share one aspect of the film that kind of came through, and I share it because of the two young men that spoke really kind of hit on it, and I want to compliment both you guys and probably most of the, if not all of you guys from Lincoln's Challenge. But one of the things that came through with Latino families is that strong sense of family and that sense of responsibility, and kids being in situations, Latino kids being in situations where the dropout rate is higher because I want to help the family. I want to go to work. I want to earn some money. I want to help pay the bills and things like that. And that is really a tough, tough thing to deal with. And to have that sense of long-term vision, because as you guys were speaking, that's what was coming through to me, what you were saying is, you realized that you needed to put yourself in a situation where you could get your GED, prepare yourself to go to college, prepare yourself for what you may be able to do for the future. And what I think I think came through in the film was that many Latino kids are in that situation where it takes a lot of bravery to fight through, I want to do the immediate thing to help pay the bills, and fight through that and say, hey, I need to do the long-term thing because I think the young man stated there, he kind of said the best way for me to really help my family is to get that college degree and get that my career going, because then I can come back and do the kind of job of helping my family that I really want to do. And I think that kind of came through. I don't know if you guys have a perspective on that, but just that courage and that strength that it takes to fight through doing the short-term thing and putting yourself in a position to really look to the future and do that.
Personally, that was something that I kind of learned watching this documentary too. I know a lot of the people in my neighborhood wouldn't have been thinking, oh, I'm going to stop going to school and help the family. I know a lot of them are like, I'm trying to get away from the family as quick as possible. So I was mildly jealous that a lot of my neighborhood didn't grow up with that sense. I mean, there was that kind of sense of that community, but it didn't seem as strong as it seemed to be in that film. And I mean, it was almost like a factor to be considered because, and again, I learn from watching these films, and that's probably one of the things I like the most about my position here. I get to watch them and get a lot more out of them because I'll probably see this one 3 or 4 times.
One of the things that touched me too was the story of Stephanie when she went on like the mission trip to help build a school for kids in Africa. And I'm thinking, okay, here's this young lady who lives in this neighborhood in Chicago that, I mean, there's not a whole lot going on there, you know, in the sense of there weren't a lot of resources. Yet she was willing to take her own time and her own resources and go help other people. I mean, if that doesn't inspire you and motivate you to, like, all right, you know, I can do something, you all have the power to do that. As young people, be it whether you're a college student or a high school student, you all have the power to change things, and you also have voices. And you need to let people know what's inside of you. You know, we aren't mind readers as adults, and sometimes we think we know what you're thinking or what you're feeling, but we don't until you actually tell us. And I just thought each of those girls could have been bitter and angry and mad at the world. They all had a reason to be, but they didn't take the negativity or the you know, sort of those pressures around them, you know, be it self-imposed, you know, the young lady who actually got herself pregnant because she thought that would make it better, or just the fact that life, you know, happens and you end up homeless. They didn't let that discourage them and stop them from, you know, continuing to believe in themselves and that there was a brighter future. I mean, the first time I saw this, I was inspired, but the second time, I was really moved. It was eye-opening for me.
We have students who drop out or left high school thinking that they were not going to be able to make it, that they were done with the school, and just visiting different centers, different places where they receive services, and they have options to continue in school as when they were working and they were helping the family. That made it go through. They were able to finish. But it's just having more options. It's just having somebody and looking for those options and other solutions. Mm-hmm. I don't think just deciding not to finish high school the regular way should be just a way for them to stop. There are so many other options. I really like that part.
I like the fact that people are bringing up the fact of there are options out there for us kids, us Latinos that are trying to get somewhere in life. I know for a fact some of us came here to Lincoln's Challenge with the mindset of, oh, I'm just going to get my GED, find a job, move on with myself. But that's not the case anymore. We need to start looking for a future. We need to start looking forward. We need to stop looking for something that's going to bring us somewhere in life and become somebody. There's opportunities. There's resources, there's things to help us, but we need to start looking. It's not like it's just going to come to us. We have to put the effort. We have to put ourselves over any obstacle that we might overcome. So we need support, basically. And our support comes from our family. That's where most of us get our strength from, is our family, but sometimes it's not enough. So with that being said, I think Lincoln's Challenge has provided that support for most of us here. We all came with the mindset that it was going to be a piece of cake, it was going to do this, that, and it separated the ones who can't and ones who couldn't. The people sitting here today are the ones who last, the ones who lasted, the ones who are able to handle what real life is. And this is like the training they give us, what everything they do for us is preparing us mentally and physically for what's to come in the future. And I believe that Lincoln's Challenge actually is something worth funding, something worth keeping alive for years to come. I do believe this program will help other Latinos, other people from other races. I believe it is one of the best youth programs created. And that's where I stand.
Hi. There's no question that one of the reasons that this film that we identify with it is because of, you know, many of us are Latino in the audience. But as I sat looking at it and I kind of glazed over, they're Latinos, but 100 years ago it was, you know, if you're poor, if you're an immigrant, and your parents are uneducated and they come here and they start taking advantage of the opportunities, what makes the Latino experience any different than any other immigrant? And that thing kept coming back to my mind because while it's immediate to me, because I'm part of that group, I've now seen enough documentaries or other situations. Maybe we're 75 years behind another group, but after us, the Indonesians or whatever group is coming afterwards, it's also starting. And so I keep thinking, what is there that is distinctive, except that I identify because I'm part of that group? And I couldn't find anything. I don't know. Maybe, you know, on the historical side, there's something. But when you have to start over, right now it's our turn. It's our turn to be at the bottom, and it's our turn to take the responsibility for it. And as this young man said, find the program, that resource that resonates with you, and take advantage of it. But really, it's life. And every group that started out with a single mom, pregnant moms, I mean, we've had them for 7,500 years. I grew up under that situation. I keep thinking, it's a hard life. It's in front of you. What do you do with it? What did immigrants do with it 100 years ago? Some of them failed, and some of them took it by the horns and just did their best. I wonder.
I've actually studied the question a lot. And there are big differences. I mean, certainly there's some similarities between the Latino immigrant experience and, say, Italians. People like to compare Latinos to Italians of the, you know, eastern cities 100 years ago. Well, first of all, it's 100 years later. So an Italian immigrant, they could they come here to work hard, low-paying jobs. Their kids get a few more years of school. But 100 years ago, 75 years ago, having an eighth grade education, you could get a good job. Now, the gentleman said, you need a they won't talk to you unless they have a master's degree. So it's a much bigger gap to go from being, you know, like my parents had eighth grade educations, and certainly, you know, all their kids had a better, more education than them. But, you know, I got a PhD. You have to go a lot more than just a few years of school, whereas 100 years ago, immigrants just had to do a little bit better in school. And, you know, high school, people with less than high school education could get a good job. Even when I was a child, when I was in high school, the big headlines were, plumbers make more than college graduates. You know, really, they really did. Being a good union job paid a lot better than most college graduates earned at the time. But certainly not true now. The other thing is about Latinos, the immigration experience is different. It's a longer-term the immigration process. The immigrants have, Latino immigrants, kept on replenishing the population at least since 1950 in large numbers. And that's also the language retention. The retention of Spanish language among Latinos is much greater across the generations than it was for previous immigrants. And that's a good thing in itself. But I think in terms of interfacing with the U.S. educational system, if you're not super fluent in English, you're at a disadvantage. And finally, there's a question of phenotype. There's a range of Latino appearances, from, you know, very white European-looking to dark Indian-looking to Afro-Latinos. And I think that's different. The immigrants you're talking about, I think, are mainly white Europeans or Italians. I mean, kind of at the dark Europeans, but still white. Whereas Latinos, kind of, some Latinos are darker and non-European looking compared to the immigrants that came a century ago.
Aunque de Villalobos, I come from LCA. I'm from the south side of Chicago. I went to Farragut Career Academy. I dropped out because I was thinking the streets were going to do something for me, which it didn't. All it did was stress my mom out. My mom struggled a lot, so by this video, it showed me that it the Latinos, it doesn't matter what race you are, but some of us drop out because of the streets. Some of us die because of the streets. And what this program is helping me is open my eyes. Like, it showed me that the streets are nothing good. All it does is get you in trouble, and it makes you lose your education. And by coming to LCA, it like showed me that those people out there don't really care about you. They all they do is just care about themselves. So it's like I lost my best friend, and many people forgot about him. And it's just like it showed me a lot. And now my mom is happy that I'm in here. So I know half of us like are in here because of that, or is it because of other things? But it doesn't matter what race you are, or it doesn't matter who you are or where you came from. What matters is that you could do it. Like, you're never too old to actually have your, to make your dream come true. You're never too old to actually get your education. It doesn't matter if it's a diploma or GED. What matters is that you got your education, and you could help your family out by doing that. Don't help your family because of the streets. The streets are going to get you money. The streets are not going to get you money. They're not going to put food on your plate. They're not going to put you clothes on your back. What it's going to do is going to get you in trouble, get you dead, get you 6 feet underground, get you behind bars. That's what it's going to do. And this program showed me a lot. And now that I think of it, it's just that I don't want to go back to the way I was. I don't, because I want to get my education and actually go to the Marines. Show my family that I could do it. If they couldn't do it, I'm going to show them that I could do it. And, yeah, sorry. But, yeah, so it doesn't matter where we came from. What matters is we have to believe in ourselves, and that's all that matters.
That's very good. Carletta, upstairs, right by you. Thank you.
So the question was brought upon, like, why Latinos? This movie could have been made about any other group across the country, but why was this one made for Latinos? Well, it's been an ongoing thing. Since the film started, Latinos are an ongoing, growing population. They've been growing very rapidly. However, if you look at data before, because I've done research on this, graduation rates remain stagnant. Although the population continues to grow, Latinos aren't getting those resources to graduate from high school. They're not getting the encouragement to it. So I think that's one of the major important aspects of why they're focusing on Latinos in this film.
And actually, this was a continuation of a project that was started just on students in the United States, just the graduates. And it was a continuation of that. And they've already left, but I wanted to thank the people that were responsible for the students being here. Thank you, sir, for bringing the students here. Our discussion was much better because they were here, I'm sure. And we'd like for you to come to more of our screenings. Thank you so much. We are probably getting close to when we can call this an evening. If there are any other comments from our panel, I'd like to hear from them. But if not, any other comments?
Well, I want to thank you, all of you guys, for being here today. And I see that we have a really diverse, and it's not being political correct here. I mean, I see different races sitting down and, you know, and in participating, because this is not just an issue for the Latino community. This is something that, unfortunately, we're seeing in our society, children dropping out from school. And as I say, this is not a race. Sometimes we see in many races that issue. We are being as Latinos or being as a minority, facing and struggling more, but they can affect anybody. And one thing that I have to say, if we embrace our community and we really engage and we don't see ourselves representing a community, I think that we can be united and make things better for our whole community. Because sometimes when I say my community, people are thinking, are you thinking about the Latino community? No, I'm thinking about the Champaign-Urbana community. I've been here for 15 years, and I'm very proud of being here. I don't plan to move, as Drew was saying. I mean, this is my new home. And we have to see ourselves on that and embrace each other, because I think that it will help our community to be better. So thank you so much for coming, too.
And on that note, I would like to thank our panel, Alejandra Cornell, Jorge Chappas, Sue Gray, and Samuel Banks, and Samantha Busso. And I would like to thank the audience for coming out this evening. Our next screening will be on December 3rd. The film is The State of Arizona, and it is about the immigration issues in the state of Arizona. I'd like for all of you to have a good evening, and thank you for coming.